Did you hear that he lost his job? I don't know how they're going to get back.
And I heard that they had a huge fight the other day, and that she threatened to kick him out. I wouldn't be surprised.
I've noticed Sarah hasn't been volunteering lately. Do you think something's wrong?
I noticed the new family always sits in the back. Do you think they're trying to avoid
people? I can't believe they let their kids do that.
Did you see what Lisa was wearing last Sunday?
I think the choir director might be coming down soon.
I heard the Johnsons are always late to service because they have trouble with their kids.
I also heard that the LGBT group isn't getting enough funding because of some disagreement on
priority. Someone told me that George is sitting at a bar downtown.
Hey, I recently heard about three pastors who on their day off were actually out fishing in a boat together. And one of them said, you know, we never really get to let our hair down to be ourselves. And so I think it'd be good if each of us could just share maybe an area that we struggle with the most so that we could pray for each other. And then he went on to say, he said, you know, for example, I really hate to admit this, but I have a serious problem with gambling. In fact, I sneak out a lot at nights to go gambling. And then the second pastor chimed in and said, oh, this is really embarrassing too, but I really have a problem cheating, and I hardly ever pay my taxes. And the third one just kind of sat there silently for a little while, and the others waited and waited, but he wouldn't say anything, so they finally just said to him, they said, hey, we're not leaving until you tell us yours. And he said, well, okay, I guess my greatest sin probably is gossiping, and I could hardly wait to get off this boat. Information like that. Well, I got to tell you, we have got our work cut out for us over the next few weeks because we're going to dive into a topic that we probably all participated in, and it's also unhealthy for us and for all of our relationships. And it has to do with how people talk about others in an unhealthy way, something that we've learned to call gossip. And so welcome to Academy Christian Church. So glad if you're here today in person with us, or if you're joining us online every Sunday. We have a couple hundred people that join us online, and we appreciate that. We're starting this brand new series called Playing in the Dirt. Now, when I was a kid, man, I loved to play in the dirt. Maybe some of you did too. And sadly, as we grow up, we also find out about the enjoyment of playing in a different kind of dirt. The dirt that is the lowdown on other people. And sometimes, instead of stewarding this information in a godly way, we can easily, hardly without any effort or resistance, weaponize it in a very destructive way called gossip. So when was the last time you actually heard a sermon on gossip? Just so you know, I don't think I've ever preached a series on gossip, and now I know why. Because really, gossip is kind of hard to cover. It's hard to define, and it's so common that it's really kind of uncomfortable to address, and it's an issue that really is deeper than any of us might really imagine. And the reason I think gossip is so prevalent is because, let's face it, man, it's so stinking easy to go there, isn't it? I mean, it's not hard at all. There's almost nothing hard about it. Spilling the beans, so to speak, about other people is easy. Not to mention that it can actually also have the unfortunate side effect of making you feel a little bit better about yourself because of someone else's misfortune or mistakes. Misery apparently really does love some company. And I'm just going to say, if you're sitting here this morning and you're thinking to yourself, boy, I wish so-and-so was here today to hear this message. If that's you, you are missing the point. Because even though all of us, we know people who talk way too much, all of us do. We tend, though, to not realize when we talk too much, especially when comparing ourselves to those folks. But this is an issue for all of us to not only be aware of, but to be on guard against ourselves, because it's just easy to gossip. I mean, if it was hard, a lot less people would be doing it. But let's face it, it's easy, and all too often, it kind of feels good. And so I just want to remind you, it's not going away. It's been around a long time. We're probably not going to get rid of it. But we could maybe get better at not participating in it. And so we're going to take 3 weeks, and today we're going to talk about gossip defined and see if we can get a definition. And then next week we're going to take a look at gossip demystified, and Pastor Taylor is going to try to lead us into understanding why we're so attracted to it. And then we'll wrap it up with gossip deflated. Now, I wish I could say gossip destroyed or disappeared, but it's not. Maybe we just got to deflate it. In other words, we need to be able to identify and understand what is gossip, why is it so irresistible, and how can I avoid it? Because honestly, you got to know, the Bible's clear that we need to have an appropriate filter for the words that we speak. We don't want to just somebody who speaks unfiltered. And so in Proverbs chapter 13, for example, it says, those who guard their lips preserve their lives. And that doesn't mean trying to actually literally protect your lips, like having a, you know, a face guard over your mouth. It's guarding what you allow to come out of your lips, the words you speak, because loose lips really can sink ships. And that's probably why the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, hey, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Would this world not be a better place if that's actually what we did? And you know, the reason God's word has so much to say about our words is because God knows the power of words. And that's because words have both influence and they also have impact. They can influence people to do amazing things, but they can also impact us. In fact, in Proverbs again, chapter 18, it says, the tongue has the power of life and death. Now, I got to say, when I was growing up, kind of the psychological defense against what other people, especially kids, because they can throw it on, would say to us would be to respond in this way. Maybe you've heard it before. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Now, that's, you know, that's Greek for baloney, because that's simply not true. The things people say to us, the words they can use have really an incredibly powerful impact on us. And I think that's why in James chapter 3, the Bible says, likewise, the tongue, just a small, little, any bitty part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. Now, if you've been around here long enough in Colorado Springs, you've probably heard of the Waldo Canyon and Black Forest fires. And we've firsthand seen the devastation caused by someone's carelessness with fire. Well, that happens with our words. And so, folks, the Bible is clear that we're to be very careful about what we say about other people so that it doesn't regress to gossip. Because I think gossip is a misuse of the gift of speech. I mean, God has given humans the gift of language, the means to communicate far beyond the capabilities of any other creatures. And while animals can convey some messages, even some emotions in a limited way, only human beings can share complex thoughts and intricate emotions and deep philosophical ideas. But isn't it true that everything God created for our good, our enemy would love to use against us, for evil against us? And so during conversations, have you ever found yourself wondering, should I be saying this or should I be listening to this? You may even find yourself wondering, hey, when do our words actually, when do they become gossip? Is it who says it? Is it to whom it's said? Does intention matter? Is it okay to talk about others with a trusted confidant? Or if we're just venting to our mom? Moms get a lot of venting, don't they? Or to our pastor? Does it have to involve a lie or an unsubstantiated rumor? Is gossip always malicious? And the line becomes increasingly fuzzy as confusion sets in about the definition of gossip. And so deciding what gossip truly is and isn't, honestly, is really a challenge. And so I thought I would start today just by talking about what gossip is not. And here's what gossip is not. Here's what I would say. It's not, folks, speaking about important issues and situations and incidences with people who are either part of the problem or part of the solution or someone who can provide godly counsel. Now, I wish we had more time to get into that today, but we're going to save that for week number 3, okay, in the series. And so today we really want to address the topic of what gossip is. And there are 3 things, among others, that I think we could say that gossip is. The first one would be this. Gossip can be either a noun or a verb. Did you know that? Gossip isn't just something you can do. It's also someone that you could literally become. You know, the Bible often uses the word gossip to describe the kind of person who makes gossiping a habit. That's what it says in Proverbs 11. It says, a gossip. That's their title. Hey, they betray a confidence. Now, I'm hoping that none of us have taken on that identity, but we've probably all participated in this very destructive behavior. And I say it's destructive because of really the type of company it hangs around. And you know where we see that company is, for example, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, the Apostle Paul's writing there, and he says, you know, I fear, he's writing back to these people, hey, that back there, there's discord, there's jealousy, there's fits of rage, there's selfish ambition, there's slander, and there is gossip. It's not in a great list. And so wouldn't it be great if like a sign would immediately flash a warning above the heads of people with whom they're talking, and it would say something like this: warning, use extreme caution, the content of this conversation is about to include gossip. Wouldn't that help? But then again, I'm not really sure if I'd like that, because it's probably going to show up over my head more than I would like it to. Second thing I think we know gossip is, it's an identity or behavior that every Christ follower needs to be serious. We got to be serious about avoiding. And we know that because in the first chapter of Romans, gossip shows up in a list of actions that are identified as malicious and deserving of God's wrath, highlighting its seriousness in the eyes of God. Here's what it says in Romans chapter 1, verses 28 through 30. And so God gave them over to a depraved mind so that they do what ought not to be done. And they become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips and slanderers. There it is in the bunch. And that's why I truly believe, folks, it's important for us to be able to identify gossip as a sin. And the problem is that people who engage in this activity, they don't like to admit that they do it. I mean, who wants to admit that they really are being a gossip? And the reason it's so important for us to identify it as a sin is because until we do, we're going to have no reason to repent of it or to confess it after we've done it. And I would just say again, I think gossip really is a misuse of the gift of speech. You've got to remember, anything that God has instructed us not to do is because that behavior is harmful either to us or to others. And gossip really is no exception, because the third thing I know gossip is that it's detrimental to people and to relationships. Folks, gossip affects all of us, regardless of whether we're the ones gossiping or the subject of gossip or both. It can have catastrophic results on all sides, including a lot of emotional and mental duress, ruined relationships, and damaged reputations. In fact, again, the book of Proverbs says it very clear. Gossip can come between two very good friends and separate them. And I love the fact that Blaise Pascal, of all people, he even weighed in on this. He said, I lay it down as a fact of life that if all men knew what others say of them, there would not be four friends in the world. Not true. Because, you know, gossip damages relationships, it demeans human value, it ruins reputations, and it's next to impossible to undo once we've said. You may have heard the story of a man who said something that was untrue about his neighbor. And a word spread around the village as one person told another. And eventually the truth came out, and so what could he do? Well, he went to his local priest who gave him a very unusual instruction. He said, I want you to take a bag full of feathers, place one feather on each doorstep of the people who heard the untruth that you told, and then I want you to go back the very next day and pick up the feathers and bring the bag to me. Well, you know what happened. The man did what the priest says, but when he went to pick up the feathers, nearly all of them were gone. So he went back to the priest and he says, hey, I did as you said. I went back and the feathers had all blown away and I couldn't get them back. To which the priest said, so it is. So it is with careless words. Once they're spoken, they can't be taken back. You can ask for forgiveness for what you said, but your words can't be taken back. The damage has already been done. And, you know, I felt this personally. When I resigned from the previous church that I served on the south side of Colorado Springs to serve then in a parachurch ministry right before I came up here to Academy, a few years later, I actually learned that someone had been saying that the reason that I had left was because I had had an affair. And there couldn't be anything farther from the truth. And I wondered how many people, when I left, had really the wrong idea about why I was leaving because of what was said. And that's why I appreciate the statement that says, you know, a gossip is like a fired bullet. Once you hear the sound, you can't take it back. But gossip isn't just hard to resist. I think it's also hard to define. And I think we don't always recognize when we're gossiping because it just so easily slips into conversation, doesn't it? And so what is it exactly that makes gossip gossip? Well, I got to tell you, I discovered so many insightful descriptions in studying about it, some that would say like this. Gossip is sharing information about the behavior and personal lives of other people when they aren't present. Yeah. Gossip is sharing information about someone else that hurts their character in the eyes of another person. Yes, yes, yes. A gossip is a person who habitually reveals personal and sensational facts about others. Yes. Do you know that even Dave Ramsey, our Financial Peace University guy, weighs in on it? He says gossip is when a negative is discussed with anyone who can't solve the problem. And I think gossip tends to be more likely, let's just be honest, when we tend to overshare. And for some reason, rather than sometimes putting a brake on, we just keep going. And what happens, it just keeps getting worse. For example, what if I were to say to you, hey, you know, one day, or the other day, I saw Tim. I actually saw him having a great time at the park. But, you know, I knew he was there when he actually should have been at work. And he told me later that I really shouldn't tell anyone that I saw him, or he would really get into trouble. And he might even lose his job. And his wife might then leave him because they've really been having some big problems in their marriage, especially after his struggle with the gambling addiction. It almost caused them to lose their home. Should have stopped a long time ago, right? So here's going to be my work in definition, and you can pick it up if you want or not, but it helped me understand it the most. And I've already had to add a word. It's not in your notes. You'll have to write it in. But I think gossip is sharing inappropriate information about someone who isn't present with another person that could lead to a moral judgment and usually contains a certain entertainment value. And there's what I think captures us. And two important characteristics. It can lead to a moral judgment. And what that means is that other people are going to be drawn to a negative decision about that person's character that might not necessarily be true. And then it has this entertainment value, meaning that it kind of has this recreational feel, and that it doesn't feel like work. And you kind of want to tend to share or hear the information because it's enjoyable, maybe even satisfying. Now, I think most people here would probably agree that gossip is not good, maybe even wrong, hopefully a sin. But you know, in the Christian community, we've actually, I think, developed some workarounds that provide a false sense of appropriateness for Christ followers to share maybe more information than they should. And we could call them Christian gossip disguises, the way we disguise our gossip in the church. And the first one, I bet maybe you're aware of, is what I would call prayer request gossip. And you know, prayer really is often used as an excuse to gossip. And it's one of the classic forms of gossip that often gets, I think, overlooked and dismissed because on the surface, it kind of appears to be caring and compassionate. And so some may believe that asking a person to pray for another person then all of a sudden allows them to tell everything that they know without sounding like they're gossiping. And so here's what a typical, maybe a conversation containing prayer request gossip could look like. Hey, you know, we need to pray for Jimmy. Well, why? What happened to Jimmy? Oh, you didn't hear what happened to Jimmy? Let me tell you. And then we tell them. You spill the beans on Jimmy. And surprisingly, or maybe not surprisingly, you know what's often absent from prayer request gossip is any actual prayer. And that's because the intention was really to never pray, but simply to be able to talk about Jimmy. So I would just be careful if I were you, whenever you start a conversation about who you need to pray for or about, and then all you do is talk about the person, but you never actually pray for them. And I would say if you think prayer is needed over someone else's life, then maybe you just need to pray for them. And if you think others need to be praying for someone, then maybe you should ask permission to share that prayer need with others before you actually do. And you could ask them, you could say, hey, what are you comfortable with me sharing about this need? And sure, that's going to be extra work and effort. I get that, but it helps avoid turning that into gossip. Now, I got a riddle before we go to the next one, and it's so obvious. I think everybody should be able to get it. But here's the riddle. What unites and divides at the same time? It's gossip. Because what it does is it creates insiders and outsiders. Insiders that know the information, outsiders that are being spoken about. Which brings me to the second disguise that we will put on our gossip. And that is, hey, just thought you should know, gossip. And most of us understand, I think, that whenever we speak negatively about another person poorly, it kind of reflects on us. And so sometimes I think we try to disguise our words with a just thought you should know warning, attempting to appear helpful. And don't get me wrong, the intention may be sincere, but sincerely wrong. And so we might say, hey, you know, I heard that you're going to have coffee with Bob on Friday. And I just thought you should know that I've noticed that, you know, not all his behavior aligns with his faith. And then we might elaborate by sharing some questionable places that he's gone or people that he's hung out with. But did the person that we're talking to need to know all of that? Probably not. And see, good intentions or not, we've managed to adversely skew their perception of Bob before they've ever even had a chance to really get to know him for themselves. And that brings us to the third disguise, which is the one that I'm most guilty of, or it's a danger for me, and that is venting gossip. And venting can easily be gossip in disguise. Because really what happens is you think to myself, hey, I've got all these thoughts and emotions welling up inside of me, and I want to make sure that someone knows how upset I am or how badly I've been treated or how much I'm hurting. And so what might venting look like when it's gossip? Well, you know, we might say, man, I am so frustrated with Morgan. The other night I tried to talk to her about her bad attitude and she just blew me off. I think she's totally prideful right now and doesn't want to listen to what anybody else wants to say. Well, the problem here is that we're making assumptions about Morgan and conveying them to someone else as reality. And by giving ourselves permission to vent, we often allow words to spill out of our mouths unchecked without taking the time to consider whether they're gossip, slander, or just good old-fashioned complaint. Now, I was surprised, not many at the first service, but I'm a verbal processor. How many others would consider yourself a verbal processor? Okay. Everybody, verbal processors are like scared because they only go like this. They don't go like this. We're the ones, I think, who actually have to be extra cautious because of the problem is that when we're verbally processing, you know, we're usually not seeking godly counsel there, nor are we talking to people that are part of the problem or part of the solution. We're simply venting. And it's because we want to express maybe how disappointed or how frustrated or how hurt or how angry or how full of resentment towards these people we are. And we want to make sure that somebody else knows about it. And I just want to offer to you today, if you truly need to vent, there's really only one that you should ever vent to. Can you guess who that might be? How about God? You know, in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus makes an incredible statement. He says, but I tell you, you love your enemies. You actually pray for those who persecute you. Pray for your enemies. Now, obviously, if God intends for you to talk to him about the most difficult, maybe even dangerous people in your life, such as your enemies, don't you think that should probably also include everybody else? So if you really need to vent to someone about someone, maybe the best place to go would be to God. Because you know what? I think he could handle it appropriately. I think he's not going to become biased. He's not going to be swayed in his opinion of that person because he actually knows their heart. And I've really come to sense, as I've been working through this, that I should try to get to the place where I should never talk to anyone else about someone until I've spoken to God first about that person. And the reason this is also important, folks, it kind of goes back to what we said at the beginning, how words are important, is because really the words you speak are like a window into your heart. The things you say reveal what's in your heart. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus said this, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And so if you're struggling with gossip, I would encourage you to just do a little soul searching. And maybe ask yourself, what do the words that I'm saying about others, what do they reveal about the condition of my heart? What's behind those words? Because there must not be something right in my heart. Am I feeling unloved or undervalued or unimportant or insignificant? Do I feel so inadequate myself that I need to view others beneath me in order to try to inflate myself? Maybe I'm looking for acceptance and approval from a source other than God. Because you know what? If you have to paint someone else in a bad light in order to feel better about yourself, you're not in a good place. And yet, I can guarantee we've all been there. We've all been there. But gossip is never the answer. Actually, instead, it should be leaning in to the love and the grace of God. That's the place to start. And if we want to say, hey, it wasn't a big deal, I didn't say a whole lot, it really wasn't that much, I just want to remind you, think again. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew 12. I tell you that every one of you will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word that you've spoken. For by your words you'll be acquitted, by your words you'll be condemned. So I'd like to offer us just this morning a goal. The goal that I would hope would come out of just this focus on playing in the dirt. And the goal would be this, to let it be said of you. You know, I've never heard them say anything bad about another person. I can't remember ever hearing them say something bad about another person. As I was doing some study, I came across a gal who actually gave this bit of a testimony of her own life. And you know what she said? She said, you know, I have a sister who will not gossip. And I'm an adult, so I should be proud of that. But I'm also human, so it's kind of annoying to me. I mean, growing up, she always responded to my inquiries about mutual friends with a smile and a shrug of the shoulder. What gives? Turns out she learned the value of treating others with kindness and respect much earlier than I did. And it shows. She boasts friendships that span decades and has a reputation of being trustworthy. And so my hope coming out of this would just be, oh, that it could be said of me. You know, in all the time I've known Brian, I've never heard him say a bad word about anybody. Wouldn't the world be maybe a little bit better place if that's how we lived? Let's go ahead and pray. Father, such hard stuff to talk about as we focus on what we actually talk about. Father, I pray that you'd help us to understand what a gift speech and language is to us, but also what a tool it can be in the enemy's hands for devastation and distrust and really hurt and harm to be given to other people needlessly. So I pray this week, Father, you're going to help us just put a guard on our lips. And before we speak, just to ask ourselves, is this something that needs to be said? And recognize that we could make the world a better place by just speaking honesty and truth and love and hope in the right context. And I ask and pray that, Father, for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.